Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guest is Miss San Antonio 2017, Emma Faye Rudkin. She is a co-founder of the nonprofit Aid the Silent, and with her is her mother, Kathy Rudkin. She's the other co-founder of Aid the Silent, and she's the owner of Rudkin Production. And we're going to talk about the Good Vibrations Music and Arts Festival coming up in May. It's the brainchild of y'all, and it's something very unique. It's the first time that San Antonio or any place will be having a music festival for the deaf and hard of hearing. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's the very first one. It's all accessible for deaf and hard of hearing people.
I know some people would say, can deaf and hard of hearing people go, you know, go, why a music festival? Because will they be capturing everything that you get at a music festival?
Yes. So many people think the deaf cannot enjoy music because for most hearing people, music is to their ears. Yet if you have hearing loss, it's not limited to your ears. It's an experience throughout your entire body. So someone may just have it to where, okay, they're listening through your ears, but for me, as a deaf woman, I feel music in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it will look different. It's something that becomes this feeling and an expression, and it's something through vibrations.
Okay.
So I actually play music. Through being Miss San Antonio and going to Miss Texas now a second time, I play the piano, play guitar, I sing, and I just have learned that through the vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something, even if you go in my car with me, my friends will immediately come in my car and just be freaked out because the music is way too loud.
Oh, yeah?
And when you know when I'm coming into an event or something, because my car is shaking from the bass. Yeah.
They can hear you and see it, yes. See you coming from
like,
a ways
here.
Away. It's here. Well, you know, you are the first guest I've ever had that is deaf. And so let's talk about how long you've been deaf and how you are able to hear. I know you are reading my lips as you are hearing me right now.
Yes. So I actually lost my hearing when I was 3 years old to a high fever associated with an infection. And I mainly lip read. So I am very much in the hearing world just because of school and working and all of my friends, most of my friends are hearing. Pretty recently, I've learned sign language because of Aid the Silent and also being more involved in the deaf community and deaf culture, but lip reading. So sometimes people think hearing loss is just, oh, I need to talk louder, or I need to over-exaggerate, I need to make sure that my volume is higher. But honestly, it's not so much with volume, it has to do more with actual sound.
Mm-hmm.
So my hearing loss is very profound. That means most of the alphabet, the sounds like G and CH and P and K, S, can't hear them at all. So with hearing aids, that is a computer that digitally programs those sounds for you. So it fills in the missing pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so right now it's reading your lips to be able to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you were 3 years old, and I don't even remember being three. I don't know what age your first memory is. Do you have any memory of that?
Of losing my hearing and that? I remember listening to the Eagles before I lost my hearing. That's one of my only memories before hearing, because I actually remember parts of the music pre-hearing loss. My mm-hmm. dad is a big Eagles fan. So Hotel California and Desperado, all of those songs, I kind of remember and have these vague memories of what it was like before hearing loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask your mom, Kathy, what did you notice? A three-year-old, would you notice?
You know, we really didn't. At first, we just thought she was disobedient or stubborn. And there's one story I think we tell frequently that she was at a ballet concert. She was a little three-year-old in her little tutus, and she had been preparing for this concert. And all of a sudden, during the show, she was off in the corner dancing by herself. And I remember just crying all the way home, just like, why does she not listen and pay attention? And, you know, why is she always dancing to her own beat? You know, literally, did we know she really was? But what happened is she was taking a nap at school, but she had her eyes open. She had woken up in preschool, and the teacher came up to her and whispered in her ear and said, you know, you can go ahead and get up. And she didn't move. So the teacher came to us and said, you know, she may have some hearing loss. And she did have a speech issue at this point. We, you know, her speech was not where it needed to be. But very, very smart. And so we almost didn't test her because we did our own little test at home when it was quiet. You know, we'd say, have her walk away and go, stop. And she would stop, but everything was quiet at that point. So she knew something was going on. Mm-hmm. But we noticed, we called it her deer in the headlight look, when she would actually get punished, like if the TV was, you know, playing or the baby was crying and she wasn't minding. We always said, you know, she looks at us like deer in the headlight, like she didn't even know we were talking to her. So we took her in, and at that point, how they tested a child was they had, like, actually little monkeys that lit up in the corner, but they would listen to a block, and they would throw it in a bucket. So she would listen for a beep, and then when she heard the beep, she'd throw it in the bucket, and then the little monkeys would hit cymbals. So she was kind of getting a reward. Well, I could hear outside the sound booth how loud it was, and it was a soundproof booth. And it was so, it was like a blaring alarm, and she was still listening to the block. And at that point, it was like an out-of-body experience that it just was happened so fast, and I couldn't believe that this was actually happening. And 90% of children with hearing loss are born to hearing parents. So mm-hmm. most of the time when you find out your child can't hear, that may be the first deaf person you've ever met in your life. So from that point, it was just a blur of doctors. The internet was not, it was there, but it wasn't where people were active on it. I don't even think, maybe 2 years later I got active. So you really didn't have any help. The doctors initially, when we took her in, they fitted her for AIDS at 4. And then within a couple of months, she had had another drop. And they had to replace those hearing aids with another one. And at that time, the doctor spoke and said, you need to teach her to sign and put her into a deaf school. Well, we did exactly opposite of that.
Because?
Well, because one, we didn't know what we were doing. Number two, we just weren't going to go with that. We were in Bernie, and Bernie did not have a deaf community or a deaf culture. And Emma was born into a hearing community, and therefore that's where her family was. So we just did totally opposite. And she jokes that we chose the hardest school to put her in, which we did, but she accomplished it and is, you know, extremely successful mm-hmm. from that experience. Mm-hmm. But she did start learning to sign at 16 and was introduced to the deaf community and deaf culture at that time, which I think is what took us on this journey.
What does society not understand about hearing loss? And I'll ask you both from your perspective and then Emma's perspective.
My biggest thing that society doesn't understand is that they think that everybody with hearing loss is the same. So you have, for instance, we went to a church that did have deaf ministry. However, their deaf ministry was signing. Well, at that point, Emma had been raised in the hearing world. And so that did not help her because she learned to sign at 16. So when we would go to church, I would have to get the pastor's notes prior just so that she would able to follow along. And a lot of people are what they would call oralist, which means they speak and they don't sign. So you have a whole new generation of kids and adults who are being implanted early on or receiving resources such as hearing aids early on, and they don't sign. But then you also have a community that's deaf culture that is raised in their primary language is ASL. And then you have people like Emma who go back and forth between both of them at this point in her life. So one of the things that's really interesting is Texas is the second largest state with the most hearing loss individuals, and it is our number one war wound coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and we have 7 bases. So what you're seeing is you can't just fit, you need captioning, you need interpreters. There's so many avenues that if you're going to have a deaf accessibility, which I'm excited to talk about good vibrations because we cover everything, but you need to be able to cover the gamut of hearing loss, which and hearing loss is not like glasses where you put on glasses and you can see, you know, it brings your glasses, you know, your glasses bring you to normal. The aids help, but you have background noises, you have distortion. There's so many things. It doesn't bring you to normal hearing. And I think that's what people are a misconception. And it's a hidden disability. You can't see it. So a lot of times, especially people who we with Aid the Silent, we work with so many adults that have lost their hearing. A lot of them go through depression because they, you know, people say, oh, well, you don't sound deaf. Well, there's really not a way to sound deaf. So you have adults who have lost their hearing late, who have perfect speech, but they can't hear at all. And so they start, you know, becoming a recluse or a hermit or just can't carry on a conversation. And so it's just a really hidden disability that people just do not understand. And there are 70 million individuals in the world that are hard of hearing and deaf. Texas being the second largest state, I mean, it's something we need to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And Emma, that same question, you know, what does the world not understand about being deaf?
Well, from my standpoint, growing up, I felt like I didn't have a voice, that my voice didn't matter. Constantly people speaking over me, or they would, the biggest pain was when people would talk to the person next to me, like my family member or my friend, and ask, oh, talk about me in third person, like I didn't exist. So for me, it's always been like, I mean, everything that you said is exactly something I experienced as well, and it's so important, the different aspects of deaf community, but as a deaf person, it's more like the emotional pain of feeling like I couldn't make a difference, or that no one was listening to me, and especially that I couldn't do anything for myself. So that's a pain. Even this last summer, it was kind of a belief. One of my really close friends, this deep pain of saying that, you know, I can't live with you anymore because you being deaf is really hard. And so things like that, I mean, it's just, you experience that. And people are always thinking that I may not be intelligent. I can't carry on the conversation. And what I always say is my ears don't work, but my brain works just fine. And so don't talk to me. Like, I'm not there. And I think that's the biggest thing is people think it has to do sometimes with your brain and it's just your ears. Everything else is perfectly intact in there. Especially like any disability, I think people automatically assume that they're not quite there. But in reality, they may perfectly be there, mm-hmm. yet you're treating them like a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, I think about depression, that depression would enter into a disability, especially mm-hmm. when the way people are treating you differently, and you said mm-hmm. they act like you're not intelligent or you're not there. Mm-hmm. And but yet here you have done very well in school and you've become Miss San Antonio, not once, but twice.
Yes.
So and you are, I have to say, she Emma is 20 years old. She's done all this and she's only 20 years old. So 2015, you wanted to be Miss San Antonio. How'd that get into your head? Who encouraged you, and did anyone discourage you, and how did you win it?
Yes, so that is a journey, and that definitely plays into my entire life story, I guess. But when I was 14, you know, you talked about depression, and I've absolutely struggled with that. I remember there was a long period of time in my life that I would come home and crying every day. And homecoming was so painful and things like that, just feeling like very unloved, and that feeling like I just, that deafness cut people from wanting to know me, maybe, especially just feeling lonely. So I grew up and played a lot by myself. I remember swinging on the swing sets by myself my entire fifth grade year. And so really struggling with depression and just thinking, okay, there has to be more to life than this. This is not the end. I mean, I'm not made to be sad. I'm not made to feel this type of pain and loneliness. So when I was 14, I ended up signing up for a camp. It was called Camp Travis. And I started learning that I was wonderfully made, that I was beautiful, that my story mattered. And actually, like, I actually became a Christian personally during that time. And so I came home and people automatically said how joyful I was, that I used to be the most depressed person. They blank slate look. And now it was that I was just full of life and full of joy. And one of the very first dreams that I wanted to start pursuing in this new life that I had found was to work on becoming Miss America. So as a 14-year-old, that was the idea that I was given. And so at that point, I knew I didn't have a talent, and Miss America has to be able to have a talent. So I ended up taking piano lessons, and how I feel piano is and play it is that I can really only hear about the middle C octave. So the rest of it is a lot of thumping. I can feel the thumping. It's really muddy. And so I started learning how to play through vibrations and just visually seeing it. So with the piano, I feel it all through my arms into my chest. And that led into playing guitar, which I feel right in my chest. And then singing, I learned how to do, and I actually can sing, is that I think from 10 years of speech therapy, I learned how to, different placements of my mouth could produce certain pitches and sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 10 years of speech from 3 years old all the way to 13. So just imagine being a middle schooler and, okay, not time for speech therapy in front of all your friends, but I'm so thankful for it now. and just learning how to speak through vibrations. So all of that started applying to music. And during that time, I just started growing in this incredible confidence and speaking in front of people finally. Before that time, it felt like I had bricks on my tongue. Just could hardly feel like, I felt so insecure. And I'd gone through stages of people pointing out I spoke funny or that my hearing aids were ugly. And so you can just imagine the freedom I felt when I finally realized that that was beautiful and that was making me who I was. When I was 16 years old, I really got involved in an organization called Zen Life, and that gave me the avenue to really start sharing my story with people. And I started seeing the difference that it could make in people's lives. And around that time, I had this incredible mentor, like a Zen Life leader, and she was asking me when I first met her what my dreams were. And I told her, I don't really know why this is my dream, but I know I'm supposed to start a deaf nonprofit, and I'm also supposed to compete in the Miss America circuit. And had no idea why. I didn't know how they were going to be connected at all as a 16-year-old girl. So fast forward to going to college. And at first, I was going to Nashville to study graphic design and just kind of look into maybe songwriting. And I ended up deciding to stay here the day before graduation programs were being printed. I just felt like I was supposed to. Had no clue why, but I decided to listen and to stay. So I ended up going to UTSA. And that first semester, I was kind of looking around thinking, okay, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Really forgotten about that first big dream when I was 16. And ended up getting an email one day from the Miss Texas organization saying that there's a meeting coming up about Miss San Antonio. So I asked my mom, I said, where is this email coming from Miss Texas? And she had signed me up and said, well, you should just check it out. Like, don't forget that first dream. So it was so funny. And I ended up going just to this meeting and hearing all about Miss Texas and Miss America and Miss San Antonio. And just knowing that I was supposed to do it, without a doubt. And I knew that that platform was going to be given to me so that I could finally start the deaf nonprofit. Mm-hmm. That they were going to be connected. Mm-hmm. That was going to be a launching pad to start Aid the Silent. And we had, at that point, I owned the domain name Aid the Silent because it really comes from my story and a lot of my friends' stories who are deaf, that your voice matters. And Aiding the Silent is giving a voice to the voiceless. And just seeing how resources changed my life. My life looks so different had I not had speech or not had hearing aids or even learning sign language later on. Resources are such a key to the quality of a deaf person's life. And so Aid the Silent was started with that in mind, that these children and teens ages 2 to 18 can apply for these resources. Mm-hmm. And so we do speech and ASL lessons, classroom equipment, FM systems, hearing aids, and also the big thing is summer camp, because that's a huge part of my story. Mm-hmm. Is summer camp, because you have a chance to interact with people and you have a chance to go outside of your comfort zone a little bit.
And you learn that you're not the only one.
Yeah. You're not alone. And so during Miss San Antonio, I ended up winning. I'm playing music. My first song that I played with Jackson and Walking After Midnight together. Mm-hmm. So they're like a mashup. And honestly, people ask me what I did to prepare for it. And my answer, it kind of cracks them up. I'm like, well, I just had to be myself, honestly. Like, I needed to be authentic or I would have gotten nowhere. So. And the second time around, it's just crazy. Was not expecting to come back, but I felt very led to. And also just knowing how close I was to Miss Texas the last time, just giving it a second try.
Okay, it's getting you closer to the door. So I have to ask your mom, so what did you do to sign her up for the Miss San Antonio pageant?
Well, she had forgotten that dream. And I had not, because we had spent lots of time on piano lessons and guitar lessons and all of that. And I was like, wait, why did we do all this for the last 6 years? But so I just went online and signed her up one day. I just knew that this was part of her story, and she needed to at least give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't going to push her. I was trying not to be the pageant mom. So
it was a nudge.
It was a nudge. So I signed her up, and I didn't even tell her I signed her up. And then when they sent the email, I was just very nonchalant. I didn't even go to the meeting. So I was like, why don't you just go see? And if you know, you're interested, then you can do it. And what was funny, I think it was in November, and she competed in February. So she had no time to prepare.
No, the meeting was in just like almost New Year.
Okay, it was the end of December, and then she competed in 2021.
And there's some professionals out there who have been working on it for a long time.
And she pretty much, her story, you know, is coming from Young Life, and she's very much a hippie, kind of where our Good Vibrations comes from with the vibration story and the bohemian, you know, feel. But she did not wear makeup. We were lucky if we got her to brush her hair. Sometimes taking a shower was a lucky thing, depending on if she came from a camp.
And you're thinking, you're going to be a beauty queen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so even one time she met with the people of the pageant, and she had no makeup on and Princess Leia ears. And I'm like, really? That's what you chose to wear to this meeting, was that outfit? But she's just very much herself, and you either, you know, you like it or you don't like it. But then she had to kind of learn to apply makeup, and actually
I had to take lots of lessons.
She had to take lots of lessons, and she still doesn't like makeup. So if she doesn't have an event, she pretty much is not wearing it. But I just didn't want her to forget that dream. And it turned out that was very God-driven for us, because it was such a life-changing experience, really, for both of us, because it started Aid the Silent.
Mm-hmm. And then, so now the second time. So if you win Miss San Antonio, you get to go to the Miss Texas pageant.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So, and if you win Miss Texas, that's how you go to the Miss America pageant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So that's part of your path. Our guest this morning, Emma Faye Rudkin. She's Miss San Antonio 2017, and her mother, Kathy Rudkin, they co-founded Aid the Silent, and they are putting on the Good Vibrations Music and Arts Festival coming up May 20th. It's at the 1850 Settlement, which is a 70-acre site off of 281 in North San Antonio, outside Loop 1604. You know, I could talk to you ladies forever, but we probably need to talk about the Good Vibration Music and Arts Festival. And I know you come back after your Miss America, okay? So we'll talk about that another time. But the Good Vibrations Music and Arts Festival. Explain, you know, its genesis and how it's going to be, because it's really, it's for people who have perfect hearing, people who are hard of hearing, people who have implants. It's for anybody, right?
Yes. So all aspects of people that come enjoy music. But what makes it so unique is that there's never been anything really for the deaf people to show them that that they can enjoy music. And I love this concept as well, because it teaches businesses here in our community that you can throw an event and make it deaf accessible. And honestly, the technology is there, the resources are there. It just takes a little more effort, but you should put it in for this group of people. And so with this music festival, I can kind of explain how we're making it accessible. But so it's captioning. So the words going across the screen, it's interpreting. I mean, when someone interprets music, you can see it through their entire body, and you can just see it on them, what's happening musically. And also that we have this dance floor that lights up and moves with the music. So it's a visual experience. And there's something called a T-coil. So a T-coil is a magnetic loop. So anyone who has a cochlear implant or a hearing aid, that connects into the sound system. So it just brings the sound closer into the equipment so that they can hear better. And also there's just new technology called a subpack. And it's a vibrating backpack, like a subwoofer type of vibration.
So the thump, thump, thump just goes right.
Yes.
Like when I've been at a concert and you can feel like your kidneys shake, you know, because the vibrations are so.
And it's even more so than that, because you're wearing it on you. So connect to the music. And just recently we had a press conference, and we have the sweetest little deaf friend. She's 10, and she came and tried it on. Her face was just like, I cannot believe the music that I'm feeling on me, you know. And it's this little backpack, and there's so many amazing things. And the theme about it is that it's very bohemian hippie vibe. So maybe
Well, I will tell you our headliner, which is major. Our headliner is Ben Rector, and he is a singer-songwriter. But he's very popular right now with the millennials and pretty much selling out the 5,000 to 6,000 venues very easily. He's also on the Oprah Winfrey commercial for Weight Watchers. He's the backup music. And then last fall, he was the Nicholas Sparks, his brand new song, actually brand new is the name of the song. It was the theme song for the movie. And then there's a new one coming out this spring called Edge of 17, and it's also the theme song. So we have an incredible lineup. We have Ben Rector. We also have Penny and the Sparrow. We have a lot of local talent that are national recorded, which is Ryan Proudfoot and Brad Blackburn. He's actually in Tennessee right now, and he just won, I think, the Guacamole Festival and also ASCAP Festival. So he's on the up and coming. And then we have a couple of other positions, two more I think we're going to fill, one locally and one nationally, that we're still working on some different talents. And then, of course, Emma being one of our deaf talents, she's going to be singing and playing the guitar. She'll do a couple of songs. And then she and Ryan Proudfoot have co-wrote a song about a deaf and a hearing person being friends and living in this world. So they'll do that as a duet. So mm-hmm. That'll be an interesting performance as well.
Don't you know? So it is on May 20th, is a Saturday?
It's a Saturday, yes. It's from 4 to midnight. We have 6 acts. We also have an artisan market where locals are going to be showing their crafts and their, you know, homemade soaps. And we have a whole food area, the food trucks. And I think we're almost full on that. We may have one more spot.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Oh, no. So it's a big event. You've really planned a big event.
It's a huge event. Yes. And lots of press. We've received even national press as of last week. So it hit the AP wire and it's gone berserk.
Because it's so unique it's the first. And I think for people who feel left out, it's something. It's like, no, you're not left out. Just nobody thought of this before to get you there.
I mean, they're the guest of honor. It's for everyone, but the guest of honor is the patient that is deaf in the hard of hearing.
Mm-hmm. And then all of the proceeds benefit Aid the Silent.
100% benefit Aid the Silent.
Which is your nonprofit organization, which helps people around the United States or around the world.
It helps people around the United States, but we have many international relationships. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a big future goal would be to work internationally. But, I mean, we help kids all over the U.S. receive the needed resources.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we close out, I'm just going to ask you you both for your advice to someone who is deaf. Kathy, as the parent of a deaf child, your advice, and then Emma, your advice as a deaf person who doesn't let anything stand in her way anymore.
Okay. As a deaf parent, probably the hardest thing is to, first of all, listen to your heart. And also, you need to be the advocate. One of the great things is I was the mama bear, and I fought through movie theaters, through theme parks, through every teacher I met with. And now she advocates for herself and she advocates for others. And I think probably the biggest thing is if my older self could tell my younger self, it's going to be okay. It's going to be a harder climb, but everything's going to work out.
From my aspect, definitely that there is beauty from your ashes. So I can think about a sad little girl that was so hurt and so lonely. And I think about this, I mean, the full life that I'm living now. I mean, I have the privilege to just love people and to make them feel included and to help them just make the most out of life. So to see that all of my wasted years have been returned to me and restored and totally redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
I can just think about how each of those hard things that I went through have made me who I am today, and that I would never trade being deaf for being hearing. I would always choose to be deaf because I can see the person that I am, and I can't imagine being myself without hearing loss. And just seeing that God has used my deepest pain as launchpad for my greatest calling, Aid the Silent would not exist. So I think trusting the process, trusting that there is a mountaintop after this deep valley.
Wow, how profound. And she's only 20 years old.
Emma
Faye Rudkin, Miss San Antonio 2017. She's going on to the Miss Texas pageant, and we'll be cheering for you. And her mother, Kathy Rudkin, and they are co-founders of Aid the Silent. They're putting on this Good Vibrations Music and Arts Festival May 20th here in San Antonio. And if people would like more information and if they want to get a ticket to the festival, how do they do that, please?
Well, they can go to goodvibrationsmusicfest.com, Ticketmasters, or Universe. And general admission is $45. It gets you in for the whole day. You can come and go, and a great day of entertainment and fun.
And then if people want information about Aid the Silent, if they need help.
Yeah, aidthesilent.com. So you can apply for resources through there. And we're very active on social media. And we will respond personally or one of our team. I mean, we're very much wanting to help any way that we can.
Well, thank you for coming by this morning.
Thank you for having us.